Over the last 3 years, I've earned 50 grand for one of my properties and paid zero tax using a tax loophole that HMRC have just closed. However, if you act fast, you can still use it. I'm going to explain how you can do that at the end of the episode. My name's Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. So, I mean, HMRC are really coming for landlords at the moment, aren't they?
No, I feel like new loophole stopped, same podcast. It's like it's again and again and again, isn't it? They're just cutting those.
What were you going to say? They're just hitting landlords, absolutely, left, right and centre. Now, let me talk you through a case study, one of our properties.
Yes.
What we did, how much tax we saved, which is, you know,
I mean, it might be that some property investors don't even know about it.
I think a lot of investors don't know about it. I don't know about it. So, yeah. So, if you don't know about it, this is one of those weird videos where it's a good news, bad news situation. If you don't know about it, it's actually good news because you can still make use of this if you're quick, and we'll explain how you can do that later in the episode. However, if you already know about it and this is something that you're doing actively, it's bad news because it's been closed, certainly for serviced accommodation anyway. So, let me explain what it is. So, we bought a property for £237,500.
Oh, wow, very precise.
Very precise.
I
wouldn't
want to get the figures wrong.
And we've been renting it out as serviced accommodation. And typically we make, about 16 grand profit a year?
Yeah, on average.
Renting out as serviced accommodation. Yeah. Now, of course, that is far better than renting out as a buy-to-let. If you're not really familiar with what serviced accommodation is, because this strategy only works with serviced accommodation.
Yeah.
Why do you think serviced accommodation is a lot better than buy-to-lets?
So obviously properties are amazing investments. Over time, they all go up, and it can be a long-term investment, which is great. And if you're not desperate for cash flow now, buying any property is great. They can be easier, buy-to-lets, because you can just put a tenant in. We've got some. Tenants been there for 10 years, great, job's a good one. But serviced accommodation, I think at the moment, has just skyrocketed. People would rather be in them than hotels. And it's actually making the hotel market struggle a little bit. And you just, the profit, you just earn so much more.
The profit is a lot more.
Yeah, because they're paying per night. So you can make thousands. I mean, I know people that are literally making thousands and thousands.
I was doing a sort of a case study to show very similar properties to some students the other day. And it was like, look, if you, you know, standard buy-to-let type property, a lot of the time, the rent is the same as the mortgage at the moment.
At the moment, I think buy-to-let, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And we just spoke about on last week's episode, there's ways, but again, you changed it to SA. It's difficult to make big profits off buy-to-lets right now.
So renting out a service accommodation, you whack it on Airbnb, booking.com.
Yeah.
You rent it out nightly rates, et cetera, right? And it's a really good way of...
And like you say, you can kind of do it anywhere. So it's not just, holiday destinations.
Yeah, because you can rent it to contractors.
Of course.
Et cetera, right? So this property that we bought, we rented out, we're making about 16 grand profit per year. Right. So if you made 16 grand profit, bear in mind we're both 40% taxpayers.
Yeah.
We would have to pay, that would sit on top of our other earnings.
Yeah.
And we'd have to pay 40% tax on that. There's no tax breaks or anything because we've already made use of those in other areas, right? So we'd have to pay 40% tax on 16 grand, which is what? 7 grand?
Yeah.
Or something in tax, right? So that's the sort of the normal setup. However, we've been doing that now on this property for the last 3 years and we haven't paid any tax.
Nope.
Zero tax. So hold on a second. It's on top of your earnings. You should be paying 7 grand a year. We're paying nothing, no tax at all. How? How is that possible, right? Because if you were renting as a buy-to-let, you'd be paying tax.
Yeah, of course.
Right? If we owned it in our personal names, we've been even more taxed because we can't claim Section 21. We can't claim the mortgage interest payments back as a tax deductible expense. So that's the context. How do we do that? Well, this is how it works. It was really, really cool. You've probably, most people that are listening to this, probably heard of capital allowances. So if you're certain property that's commercial property this is for, and a furnished holiday let that we're counting as commercial property, although this is where the law is coming in to change. Basically, they're scrapping off. They're saying, no, furnished holiday lets from now, we're no longer counting as commercial property. So it's been closed.
So frustrating. This. They're just always getting there, don't they? And then we have to find another loophole. Darn it.
But this is a great one, right? So we bought it for £237,000. I'm obviously aware that when you buy a property, some of what you're buying is going to be the land that you're buying. Some of it will be the building.
Yep.
But then other parts, because when you buy it, you actually are buying, you're buying the kitchen. You're buying the
boiler.
The boiler. You're buying the heating system.
Yeah. It's
you're
not
buying
just...
The waterworks, yeah. The piping, all this stuff that comes with the house. Now, under the rules, what basically is allowed to happen is those costs you can claim back as a capital allowance. So what I did was I went to a firm, and I'll put a link below to the name of the firm if you want to use the same company, because they've done a really good job with me.
They have. They're really on it, aren't they?
They're really good. They're looking at numerous properties for us. They're fantastic. So I'll put a link. You can check them out. But I went to this company. I was like, right, they will then go and value. They don't have to go in person, but they value the property. And they go, right, how much of that purchase was the land? How much was the building? How much were... the kitchen, the plumbing, the heating, all how much was the mechanical sort of electrical?
Yeah, I'm not
side?
Quite sure what the word is for all those.
Like mechanical, electrical,
things.
Waterworks. How much is all that side of it? And they'll say, right, that is in our case, I think it was £53,500.
Yeah.
Right. Now, typically for a normal property, you're looking at about somewhere between 20% and 25%. So if you're buying £1 million property, for example, you're probably looking at somewhere between 200 and 250 grand is going to be the mechanical, electrical, right. Then what they say is that you can now claim back as a tax deductible expense. So if we make 53 grand, which we've made just under in 3 years, all of that, we can knock this off. We don't pay tax on any of that money.
Yeah.
It's all counted as tax-free money up to 53 grand. And then after that, we've got to pay tax. Now, a lot of people use capital allowances when they do a refurb.
Yes.
And they're replacing the stuff. But they don't realise that when you're actually buying the property, you can do it off the stuff that you've bought.
Yeah, which is brilliant, isn't it? People haven't been doing it, they need to get...
If you're buying service accommodation, it's like... we're making 50-odd grand tax-free.
Yeah.
It would have cost us over 20 grand.
Yeah.
Right, for us personally. So it literally saved us over £20,000 having a phone call with these guys, letting them sort it out for us. It's just unbelievable. And you're right. There are people that are renting out a service accommodation that aren't even aware of this.
Yeah.
So the update, the rules, the countdown. So as of April this year, HMRC are like, no. Furnished holiday lets, no longer, we're not going to count them in this. They're no longer commercial property. You can still do it with hotels. So as you know, we've bought three hotels recently. All the hotels we can still do it with. So that's good news. But furnished holiday lets, they can't. If you're buying like a block of flats, the communal areas you can do it in. Because that part of the building is commercial space.
Okay, actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the communal areas you can do it in. Or if you're buying commercial property, you can do it.
Yes.
So you're buying commercial property and that's your strategy. So you can earn a hell of a lot. If you're investing in commercial property, you can then earn a hell of a lot of rent tax-free using this. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy.
I'm surprised it's not talked about more.
I think a lot of people don't really know much about commercial property. Everyone thinks buy-to-let landlords, like buy-to-let, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the tax rules in... recent times, they're beginning to hit service accommodation a little bit more now.
But service accommodation's the one where it's kind of being able to have the most loopholes.
Yeah, because you're making a load more rent and you're basically treating it like commercial.
Yeah.
So what we're doing now is we're buying hotels.
Yeah.
So now they are commercial. So we've got all the benefits of being commercial without the hassle. But I still think buying normal properties and renting them out as service accommodation is great. So if you're buying properties right now, you can't do this anymore.
No.
However... if you bought properties before April this year and you're renting them out as service accommodation, you can backdate your taxes. So you can't do it now, but you can backdate your taxes. We'll be back to the episode in just one moment, but I wanted to very, very quickly tell you about a brand new webinar that I'm running, teaching you how to build wealth through property, but also how to protect that wealth and to pay much less tax. So check it out. I'll put a link below and I'll see you on the webinar.
It's one thing which I quite like about HMRC. They're kind of, I love the fact you can backdate, because yeah. I'm surprised knowing them, they're not like,
no, once it's in,
you did it, you missed it, unlucky. The fact that they are allowing people to go, well, actually, I didn't realise about that loophole. I know I can't use it from any property I buy now, but actually, I've got 10 properties and I'm surprised they're like, oh, okay then.
Mm.
I'm surprised they're just like, well, no, you didn't realise, you didn't do it, end off. They are, I have, you know, I'm not a big fan of HMRC, but that is one thing that I think, oh, fair play that they are allowing people to backdate.
And, yeah.
Because actually some people, if they're sitting there and don't realise and have got 10 SAs.
Oh, you could.
They're about to have a very good year.
Yeah, if you're watching this and you've bought properties as SAs in the past and you've not, and you didn't know this, you're going to make a fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
How long have they got now to get their claims in? Is it 18 months?
I think you can backdate for 2 years. Okay. So obviously it's just gone. So realistically, you really want to get your claim in the next 18 months. Otherwise, you're going to be in a position where, you know.
Yeah, you have lost the opportunity.
You've missed the boat. Yeah. So you want to get in the next 18 months. But regarding actually the process of it working, I mean, from my point of view, I mean, you could be clueless. You could literally, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand what they do, how it works. All you need to do is go to a company that specializes in it. I think obviously you need to know the basics, what we've been through today. You need to understand what is possible, but you just answer their questions. They'll fit it all in. They'll sort it all out for you. They'll do the claim. They do everything.
Yeah.
And
you don't need to know every detail of, oh, what exact items fit in what category. They do all that for you, all the headache bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They charge a fee, but it's like a couple of percent.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And they only charge you on money they save you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. They get it.
It's like no win, no fee. Yeah. So if they work it out and it doesn't get it, it doesn't make a difference. So that, unbelievable, amazing. Strategy great if you're doing commercial property now. You can use it, you can make an awful lot of money. I think you can use it up to like £1 million a year. You can make that, you can claim it up to something like £1 million a year is the cap. I doubt there's many people listening that have
got serviced accommodation.
You have to buy a property that was worth like, you know, millions and millions, that, you know, that was gonna go over that threshold.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can't claim it back again. So if you're buying something that's already running a serviced accommodation, and they've already claimed the capital allowances on those items, you can't then claim it again.
Ah, okay. So if someone bought one of ours off us,
and we'd already done it. So if we sold it now, the one we're talking about, and then they...
Well, obviously they couldn't do it now, regardless.
It's gone and now, yeah.
But anyway, they couldn't in the past if they...
Correct. So they wanted to check, like, you know, like with ours, like, oh...
has anyone
done all of ours were residential before.
Yes, they were, yeah.
So it makes, so it's fine. But yeah, if they've already been claimed, you can't sell it and keep claiming it.
Yeah.
Off the same stuff. But yeah, other than that, I mean, just answer the questions, go through. I suppose the key is, how long does it take?
Yeah, someone might be thinking, oh, is this like a long slog?
As long as you're on the ball with it, and you answer, you get back to them, because obviously the ball will sometimes be in your court. They might need to speak to your solicitor, for example, to have a look at the contract, what, you know, when you bought it. But you're probably looking at, in most cases, for us, it's been, you know, a month.
Yeah, so it's quite a fast turnover. It's not
like a super long process. It's pretty quick. But then all of a sudden, we're now 3 years of paying no tax on one property. And we'll, some of next year, we won't pay any tax either. It's going to take us 4 years before we start paying tax on it, which is just...
Woohoo!
Yeah, amazing. It's a shame it's coming to an end.
I know, yes.
But you can still make use of it as long as you've already bought the property, as long as you're renting it out as SA. There are also certain rules, like, for example, you can't just go, oh, yes, I'm renting it as SA. Like, you have to prove that it, I think, I can't remember the numbers, but it's like got to be available for like 200 days a year and rent it out for half of it.
Yeah, you can't. Just pretend you were renting
it's similar
it out.
For the business rates. That's another area where they're hitting us right now. So we're going through at the moment. And they're so slow. So if you don't know, about this as well. Another area that SAs are being hit. And again, there's a way around. There's always a way around it.
Yeah.
So when you see in the news, oh, this change has come in, they're getting hit. It's this is where stuff like this show comes in, because we've got contacts with all the solicitors, all the accountants. We've got loads of people that are running service combination units and stuff that we know, and everyone's looking into ways around it. So with council tax, what they said is, oh, we're doubling council tax for people who are second homes or renting out service accommodation. So we got all these letters from the councils. Oh yeah, this one, we're doubling council tax. And they have doubled our council tax.
They have.
We are now, it came out. We're paying double council tax across.
I was a little bit sad by that.
Yeah, it's very annoying. But what you can do is you can go, all right, well, it's a business. I'm not going to pay council tax. I'm going to pay business rates. Yep. And just go onto the VOA website, apply for business rates. They are slow, though.
Oh, very slow.
Yeah. So I put I put one in a month ago, and yesterday I heard nothing from them.
So about when you phoned them? That was a funny story.
Who, the council or?
Yeah. To ask about it, remember?
What, they didn't have a clue?
No, and they said, oh, yes, sorry, I haven't got a clue. And... but don't worry, sir, we'll call you back. And you were like, okay, I'm free this afternoon. And they were like, no, it'll be in about 7 to 10 days. And you were like, sorry, what? 7 to 10 days? And they were like, we're very busy.
But do you know what is funny about that? Do you know how long ago that was? Roughly, have a guess.
About a month.
Yeah, they haven't called me.
Very busy.
So that's 7 to 10 days. They haven't called me back. But yeah, they are useless. But that's why I've gone... Yeah, the councils, oh, they're terrible. But I called the VOA yesterday. So they're the ones that will assess the property and decide how much the business rates will be. They'll value the for business rates. And they said they're still working through February claims.
Wow.
Because
everyone's
changing the business rates.
Of course. So they bring it on themselves, don't they? It's like...
Yeah, I don't get why they do. They think they're being... I don't know why they do it. The only thing I can think of is they're doing it to appease, like, the general public. So the general public are like, ha, 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 but don't realise that we're just going to find a way around it.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, they're all clueless.
Yeah, they are. It's just really, yeah. I think you've got, the general public, so they try... Yeah, and smooth things over and think, oh, if you bring that out, that'll sound good.
Yeah.
And it just causes, like, carnage. Like, everyone's now like, okay, fine, business rates. Suddenly, you've got a council now that no one can get hold of because they're too busy.
And do you know what's
changing
funny?
All these people
the
over.
The VOA were like, oh, yeah, we changed systems, so we had 6 weeks where we couldn't do anything over January. I'm like, why would they change the system literally when these new rules are coming in and they know everyone's going to go crazy? Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. But if you're renting it out as SA, then obviously the key is, in order to pay tax, you need to be earning money. Any tips for renting out your property well, fast, good rent?
For SA?
For SA. Because if you're going to use this hack, you might as well make the most of it. You might as well earn a lot of money.
Well, I mean, there's numerous different things you can do. I mean, it kind of depends on, you need to know your market. So are you doing it as a holiday? Are you doing it for contractors, social housing? There's lots of different routes you can go with it. But if we assume we're talking about holidays, I mean, we do lots of things. Be competitive, make sure it looks the part. I mean, everything's got to be eye-catching, hasn't it?
I think pictures are a big part.
Massive.
And reviews.
Reviews, picture. Because I just think it's all about first impressions. And I know it's just very like, oh, there we go again. But of course it is. When you're looking and you're scrolling, I book a lot of holidays. And we do use Airbnb, bees. It's all about if it grabs your attention, isn't it?
Mm.
If it doesn't look that great. I mean, I've done some videos, haven't I, on Instagram about very funny pictures that have gone up selling properties. And actually, when you start looking through, there is some hilarious ones. And you just think, well, no wonder that's struggling to go. Because what on earth were they thinking there, doing that? Like, and I think you've got to be very, I think photos, we put a lot of effort into the photos, didn't we? Because we thought, okay, that is... I think that's one of the main ones. I think then there's lots of different things you can do. So you need to obviously be competitive, look what's around.
Competitive pricing, you're talking
about. Yeah, competitive pricing.
We also have certain rules, so we do like 2-night stays only, but obviously we use
2-night stay minimum.
Yes,
not only. Can I stay for a week? No.
No, we only do 2 nights, and we want you out.
Could I do book 2 lots of 2 nights? No, that would be 4.
Sorry,
don't want
my
you
mind's
in.
Gone. And then obviously we use Avivo, and you can. But that's such a great tool. So it's across all the systems, isn't it?
Yeah, so you've got a channel manager.
Yeah, and you can change the pricing. So if it's getting closer to the days, you can bring the prices down a little bit. So that fills out rooms. I mean, we get probably 90 to 95% occupancy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. About that, and you're right, what we do, I mean, you can use automated tools like Price Labs and things to change your pricing.
Yeah.
But what we actually don't personally use that. What we do is we just go on and have a look.
And if it's getting really close,
drop it down
think,
a little bit if it's a week away.
Then we do let suddenly last minute 1-night stays.
Yeah. Yeah, so you broke your own rule there.
I know.
We only do 1-night stays if there's a like 2 nights, then a 1 gap and someone else has booked 2. So where, you know, basically it means that it can't be booked for 1 night.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, I think reviews are a really big one.
Yeah.
I think getting good reviews, really important.
And I think doing everything, you know, well, it sounds like, aren't you saying the same thing? Because I was about to say doing everything to not get a bad review, and you're probably like, that's getting good reviews. But I think it's really important though to not get bad reviews. I think one, you'd get away with, but I think keep them sweet.
Well, you want, especially on like booking.com and stuff, because I actually mainly use booking.com for my personally to book. I'll filter it like by superb.
Yeah.
So I don't even look at stuff below
that. No, I don't.
So you want to get, you want that 9-star kind of average.
And I personally would go, if you know there's been an issue. I mean, we had not long ago, didn't we? The internet went down and we were like, oh no, looked it up and it was like, yeah, in that area, was it Virgin?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, sorry, it's out all day. And we just had to apologise. And they were really put out because they were trying to work there and it was a big hoo-ha. And I just think, go above and beyond. So we were like, oh my goodness, how can we like sort this? Obviously, we can't actually sort the internet, but could we pay for you to go somewhere else to use the internet? And I think it's always worth going above and beyond to not get a bad review, because I think they do damage your reputation. And I think, like you say, when we're looking for somewhere to go, we wouldn't even consider somewhere that had multiple bad reviews. I'd just be like, nah. Because there's too much competition now. Back in the day, when in one of the areas we've got, we were literally the only Airbnb when it went
for a while. Yeah.
For a while. Not now, but for a while. So there was no competition. Now, we wanted it to be good anyway, just because I wouldn't want a rubbish SA. But there was no competition. And we were fully booked all the time. But now you have to think, okay, that's very unlikely to be the case. And if people see better photos, better reviews, they ain't coming to yours,
well,
are
one
they?
One of the big ones for reviews, apparently they did like a study on hotels. And a massive factor is your check-in process.
Okay.
So if you've got a good check-in process, guests then wear rose-tinted glasses for the whole of their stay. If you've got a bad check-in process, guests have the opposite of that, I don't know, black tinted glasses for the rest of their stay. So everything you do now is like, oh, you know, and even questions where it totally was unrelated to the check-in process, they then ranked lower because they didn't have a good check-in
process. It's because that comes back again to first impressions. What's the first thing you do? Check in.
Yeah. How easy is it to get in there?
Yeah.
You know, well, because one of the things that slightly scares me about when I have an Airbnb, with a hotel, number one, I know it's easy to find because it's normally a big building. Number two, I can just walk in, there's a human there that can help me and show me where my room is and tell me. With Airbnbs, you don't always have that. And if you can't find the key safe or
see,
whatever.
See, I'm not. We differ on this a little bit, don't we? Because when I'm booking for some of our abroad holidays, I never want to do Airbnb. Because of that reason. I'm like, what about if we just get there and then there's just a problem? Like you say, you can't get in, you can't find it, and then they're not answering the phone. And I'm thinking, and you're in a country like you've never been to before. I think in England, I'm happy to do Airbnbs because I feel like it's safe space. I know England. I know kind of, worst case, I could drive home or go to a travel lodge, or but you feel out of your comfort zone sometimes being in other countries anyway. And I'm just thinking, with two kids in tow as well, if we turned up, we did do it in Denmark.
Yeah, it was good.
And it was good. But that did put me on edge. And we did struggle to get in that main entrance door to start with. And we were like, is this it? And we were like, oh no. Like, I'm not sure if it's here. And we were a bit lost and we were struggling to get through that walkway. Once we were in there, it was all right. And it was a great, we filmed it at the time. It was a great place to stay. But hotels in that respect are easier, aren't they?
They are.
And there's someone there. I also think a big one, being on it with your messages before they arrive. I think when I'm messaging and saying, oh, just about, I'm coming at this time, and you don't get a response, you panic.
Yeah, it's a good communication.
Because then you think, but I'm arriving at 10 at night. You just know John and Sandra are going to be in bed. And if anything goes wrong, they're not going to be there and I'm going to be stuck outside with two kids and a suitcase. And yeah, I think good communication, good check-in, everyone's at ease.
There you go.
Everyone's happy.
And then that will allow you to make the money that you need to make to pay no tax on.
Yeah.
Because you're paying the capital allowances. So I'd encourage you, I'll put the link in for the company, check them out. I hope you guys found the episode super useful. If you were already aware of this rule, it's probably a bit of a bad news. If you weren't, and you've got properties that you've bought in the past few years, it's probably super, super exciting news. You can claim all that tax back. But I've been Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.